Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A three-part documentary called Nuclear Family centers on a landmark court case that set a precedent for the parental rights of gay parents. The film is also about the human beings involved, humans who made choices, said and did things that humans do for better and worse. Here is the background of the case. Back in the 80s, a couple, two women, decided, as many couples do, to become parents. That was a time when, for same-sex partners, having kids simply wasn't done. So through a sort of underground process, they found a donor, a gay man, who was eager to help this lesbian couple start a family. The moms-to-be wanted someone willing to donate their genetic material, and that's it. Someone who wouldn't want any role or responsibility in raising the child. The man agreed, and the couple's family started to take shape. As the child got older, she started asking questions about how she came to be. Eventually, the family made plans to spend some time with the donor so their daughter could get to know him. The visits turned into regular visits, and that included his family, a longtime partner, and his son. The man's affection for the daughter grew, and eventually he wanted to play a bigger role in her life. Her mom saw this as a violation of their original hands-off arrangement and asked him to back off. He sued them for paternity and some custody rights. The child's name was Rye Russo Young, and now she is all grown up. She's a filmmaker, and her latest docuseries called Nuclear Family is about that custody battle, her own custody battle. Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer.
In so many ways, we were this traditional family.
We'd visit Tom several times a year.
It was clear that Tom fell in love with you.
What I remember vaguely is that there was some tension between the adults.
As parents, we were a little afraid.
Just felt like he was forgetting our promises to each other and what this was all about.
Where do you come off interfering with our family?
I was being sued for you.
It was unheard of for a family like yours to be fighting a paternity lawsuit.
You were intertwined with his sense of who he really was.
He just wasn't your family.
Clearly, he was some kind of big deal in my life, because here we are, 30 years later, talking about it.
It wouldn't be the family we wanted, we planned, we struggled for.
After all this time, I'd never been able to truly understand my feelings.
Ryan, what happened between us? There's always two sides to any story. Maybe you've only heard one.
The first two installments of the docuseries Nuclear Family are available to screen now on HBO Max, and the third and final installment drops this coming Sunday. Here to talk about the series and the family that probes it's her own family is Rye Russo Young. Hi, Rye. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Allison.
So from what I've read, you're a filmmaker and outside of this particular story, and that you really struggled with the question of whether or not this should be a documentary. You said you didn't want to do one of those "Oh Me and My Problems" documentary. But at some point in the process, when did you, the filmmaker, realize that this was bigger than just you, that this was a bigger story that needed to be told?
Well, I think from the very beginning, I had a strong sense that this was my story, but it was also the story of my mother's and my sister and my biological father, sperm donor Tom, but also of the history of gay families. Mm-hmm. You know, the 40 years, I'm 39, I turned 40 in November, and the 40 years of my life have been sort of the story of and the history of gay families from this very renegade counterculture, hidden in a sense, didn't exist, to the world that we live in today.
Yeah, your moms really were on the cutting edge of this notion of gay couples could be parents. Just for context, would you tell us what was going on in the world in the gay rights movement as your parents decided to have kids?
So my sister was born in 1980, and at the time it was really more about gay liberation. It was about coming out of the closet more than anything and being recognized LGBTQ people being recognized as human rights and having basic, you know, basic liberties that gay families weren't at all on anybody's radar. And even for my moms at that time, they basically thought that when you came out as gay, it meant you couldn't have a family.
I mentioned that this was this word of mouth network for gay women that sort of instructed them on how to start a family. How did that network develop? And how did it help couples like your parents?
I mean, I think it was an underground sort of, yeah, it was very word of mouth. Mm-hmm. My mom found their friend Chris Argatis, who is in the documentary, she was at a bookstore in Berkeley, and she found a pamphlet that was hand-drawn called Women Controlled Conception. And in it was how to inseminate using a turkey baster. And, you know, where a man will ejaculate mm-hmm. into a jar and then you use the turkey baster. And she gave it to my mom, and that's what they used to inseminate. So it was that DIY.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Rye Russo-Young. She is the filmmaker behind the docuseries Nuclear Family. You can see it on HBO. HBO Max. Because your mom had to have third parties involved, the donors, there was, in the film you see this, you hear about this negotiation and discussion about family dynamics before either of them tried to get pregnant, questions about who would be the gestational parent and whether the kid should have the same sperm donor. When you were making this film and also living this story, what did you learn, or how did you start to think about the role of planning when it comes to matters of love and family?
I mean, even today, you know, it's LGBTQ people face so many choices in terms of how to build their families. My sister, for example, is married to a trans man named Max. And, you know, in their family planning, they chose not to use a known donor. They went to a sperm bank mm-hmm. because for them, that felt safer, I think, for my sister specifically because of everything she went through. I'm straight. So for me, my family planning was relatively straightforward, certainly compared to LGBTQ people.
You know, we do learn that you are a mom, you became a mom. How did that affect the way you thought about this idea of nuclear family, and what impact did it have on your filmmaking?
I mean, I actually completely think that one of the big, something that clicked for me in terms of actually saying I'm going to make this mm-hmm. series is that I became a parent, and I was pregnant with my second child during the choice of choosing to make the film. And I think that was because I realized the stakes of the story. Having children was just such a huge reorientation for me in my life. Being responsible for another person and worrying about them and caring about them and thinking about them constantly. It just made me look at the entire story through the lens of a parent and how precious that is and how terrifying it would be to have your child taken away.
My guest is Rye Russo-Young. She's the filmmaker behind the 3-part docuseries Nuclear Family. So Tom had agreed to the terms that your mom's laid out. And for a while, part of that meant you were spending some time together. And you have so much footage, home footage, and it just looks sort of joyous and happy. And your sister and your parents and Tom and his partner and his son. What changed? When did things start to go awry?
I mean, there were, you know, it's in the documentary. There were really a series of mm-hmm. events that happened one at a time. The first piece was Tom, my biological father's lover, Milton. Him and my moms weren't getting along because Milton was trying to establish control. He would say things like, call Tom daddy. And these kind of cutting statements that my mom didn't like, and that felt like overstepping their family. That was sort of the first riff. And then there were several other events that happened after that. And it was sort of a boiling pot that exploded.
As the tensions escalate between your moms and Tom, you know, your moms are put in this position, it seems like they're put in this position of having to defend their idea of family against society's idea of family, and then what Tom's idea of his family was. And, you know, as I watched it, I really, you know, came to remember, like, your mothers must have been very frightened, because the law, it was not in their favor in any way. When you talked to them about fear, what did they express to you?
I mean, yes, absolutely the law was not in their favor. I mean, that almost feels like an understatement, because mm-hmm. There were no legal protections for gay people. You know, gay people couldn't get married. There was no cross adoption. But also, even in public perception, there was no one even saw us as a family. My sister and I, growing up around that time, would get constant questions: "Who's your real mom? Your sister and you aren't really sisters." People would call my sperm donor / biological father. I clearly have a complicated relationship to what to call him, mm-hmm. but people would call him my father constantly. There was a lack of vocabulary. And certainly in a court of law, you know, there could only be two parents, and my moms were not recognized as my two parents. And by recognizing him as a parent, it would create all of these rights for him to be able to have. And my non-biological mother would be a legal stranger.
One of the things that sort of is jaw-dropping, and, you know, you know this happened, but it still is jaw-dropping: how many people decide they need to share their opinion about your family on talk shows, to news reporters? Mm-hmm. It just, when you watch the footage, I'm curious what it feels like now that you're an adult, and do you have any sense of why people felt that they had the right to weigh in?
I think it's because they didn't view us as a family. Like, it wasn't something to respect, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an entity that felt holy or that felt unto itself. It wasn't recognized, so people didn't see it as something that they needed to care for. And I will say, like, doing press now with my moms, it's been really wonderful, because for the first time, people see us as a family. And so it allows us to be so much less defensive as a result.
And your moms live in New York. Are they listening?
I'm sure they're listening. Hi, Mom.
My guest is Rai Russo-Young. She's a filmmaker behind Nuclear Family. You can stream the first two episodes on HBO Max, and you can catch the final episode Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, and then it'll be on demand after that. It's interesting. We see footage of you. This was a news story. This was a big issue. And we see footage of you as a kid being interviewed, and you're very poised. You have very clear allegiance to your moms. What do you see when you look at that footage?
Oh, it really depends on the clip. you know, in some ways, talking about the defensiveness, I for the first 15 years of my life, I was put in the position, just by nature of where the world was at in terms of how they viewed our family, of having to defend my family and protect my mothers and my relationships, my nuclear family. I felt constantly I had to defend to the world and explain. So it was a little bit like being a spokesperson. Mm-hmm. And I see that in my interviews. You know, my sister and I felt so much pressure to be perfect and to be the sample of children with gay, you know, the children of gay families are happy and healthy and normal. And I see that, like, effort on mm-hmm. my part. But I also do see a kid that was pretty happy, healthy, and normal, you know? Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, I was proud to take on that role. I didn't feel foisted into it by my moms or anything. I felt like, who better than me to do this?
We talked a little bit about the social landscape. The second installment really goes on how rough the legal landscape was for gay parents. What were some of the legal strategies that Tom, who was also gay, leaned on during these mm-hmm. proceedings? He was also an attorney, we should mention.
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge San Francisco civil rights attorney and fought, you know, there's so much irony in some sense to this story. He, you know, fought huge legal battles. Someone like Brian Wilson, who was protesting the Vietnam War or weapons to Nicaragua, and he sat on the train tracks and the train sped up, you know, in protest of the weapons. And the train sped up and Tom defended him in a court of law. So Tom was, in his own rights, a huge civil rights lawyer and did great cases. So that's the part of the irony here, that in the trial, he, for example, said that I was an illegitimate child because I had two mothers and because I didn't have a father. And it was the argument that every child needs a father. He also said that my mom's, he brought in a psychiatrist and said that my mom suffered from a rare theory called lesbian fusion, in which two women who live together, lesbians, become fused as a result. And it's like a sickness, like a disease. And the kids suffer from it too. So it was these really homophobic and horrible arguments that he used to try to win the case.
In a story that centers around a custody battle like this, it would be easy to paint Tom as a villain, as trying to take you away from his mom's, and that's how your mom sees, your mom see it. We learn and we hear them very clearly. But it's, in the third episode, which hasn't come out yet, you really take us into Tom's point of view. And you are a good interviewer, and you are very clear with your moms that you're going to ask them hard questions. What questions came up for you about the narrative that your family, the way your family's narrative story had been told?
Well, during the lawsuit and after that, I used to call him the evil one. That was my nickname for him, because I felt so betrayed by him that he would do this to me and to my family and make me so terrified. My whole reality felt like it was being rocked when he sued. The tectonic plates of my life were shifting. And I, for so many years after that, I felt like there, I wrestled with that. Is he evil? Is he the evil one? Is he really, is anybody evil? And it wasn't really until the making of the film and the attempt of sort of wanting to make the film was part of me wanting to ask those questions and to say, well, no, let me get inside his perspective. Let me see, he's not evil. So then what is he? And why did he do this? What motivated it? And was it because he loved me? And how could someone who loved me cause me so much pain? How does that coexist? So those are all the questions.
We get some answers, some suggested answers, and you can find out about those on Sunday night. My guest has been filmmaker Rai Russo-Young. Her latest is a 3-part docuseries on HBO called Nuclear Family. You can stream the first 2 episodes now on HBO Max. The final episode drops this coming Sunday. Rai, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.